Despite a massive rebuilding effort that included three waves of Ameren Illinois workers, Puerto Rico is still experiencing setbacks to the restoration of electricity for homes and businesses. The devastation caused by Hurricane Maria last September destroyed the country's electrical grid. Last week, a subcontractor caused an island-wide blackout for up to 36 hours in some places. A week prior, that same subcontractor caused a temporary outage for nearly 900,000 residents when a tree fell on a power line. Before those setbacks, an estimated 97% of Puerto Rican homes and businesses had their power restored. Eric Estra of Lincoln worked as a supervisor of two four-man crews during the third wave of Ameren employees who helped to reconnect power on the island. He said Ameren prepared him and his crew well for the work, but he told GLT's John Norton he didn't expect Puerto Rico's mountains.
The funny thing is we landed, they took us on a charter bus to the hotel, and basically they dropped us off on the road and we had to walk up to the hotel probably, I don't know, say it was a couple hundred yards, but it was straight uphill and we're dragging our bags and everything up there with us. And I thought, what did I sign up for? Because it was the train. I can't get over the train.
So are you doing pretty much the same thing the first two waves were doing, or are you following up on things?
As soon as we started sending up the side, we call it a hill, mountain, whatever you want to call it, but from sea level up to about 13 kilometers, and the first two bunches before us, they were putting up the main three-phase feeders, and then we were working on a lot of the taps, but it was unbelievable the amount the first two accomplished, and then the third wave also, but it was unbelievable, and did it safely.
What was the devastation like by the time you got there?
It's still unbelievable. Supposedly, according to some of the locals, we were working kind of where the eye was. We were up by a rainforest, and it had been almost 7 months these people had been without power. And out of all our interactions, 99.9% of them were great. The locals were unbelievable for being out 7 months. The vegetation had grown up because it's a tropical climate, so the vegetation... just unbelievable.
Getting to Puerto Rico, that was one of the big issues that the government was dealing with. It wasn't Texas or Florida where you could drive there. You had to get there by sea. What were the logistics like for Ameren to get there? How much went into that? How difficult was that?
The people behind the scenes setting all this up were amazing as far as I'm concerned. The logistics to get barges, I think they're on a barge for 14 days to get to the island. Getting all of our equipment, material, supplies, everything down there was amazing. I mean, they had warned us worst case scenarios as far as, you know, only drinking bottled water, and they had us prepared mentally and everything for worst case scenario. And when we got down there, Ameren did an unbelievable job as far as keeping us supplied with everything we needed.
Give me an example.
Tylenol, beef jerky, suntan lotion, just all the basic, the little necessities that we thought you're going to be going out without for 24 days. Pretty much anything you could think of, they either had or they could get it for us.
What did you bring with you?
My boss would laugh because I kind of went overboard. I actually brought a life straw with me, if you've ever heard of one, because I didn't know if we'd be drinking contaminated water. But I joked with my wife before I left. I thought I'd lose weight because the meals, they would bring us a lunch meal in a box, basically. You get a sandwich and a cookie or whatever. Just, it was okay, but I thought if we eat those for 24 days, it might be kind of rough. And out of the 24 days, I would say I had to eat one of those, maybe four. And other than that, the locals who had nothing cooked for us literally every day. And I actually came about 3 pounds heavier.
No kidding. Talking with Eric Eskra, the supervisor of electric operations for Ameren, Illinois. This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. Let me go back. When you got there, how much work was still left for you to do? Can you nail a percentage work that of businesses and homes that still needed to be hooked up when you got there?
I'm wanting to say when we left, the last number I saw is there's 95% was on. I believe when we got down there, there was in the 90s on, but what had happened is the farther we work up into the mountain, the conditions are, it's getting tougher and tougher to get that 5% back on. They're the ones that are off for a reason because the logistics, where they are at is tough to get to.
And I would imagine some tough decisions need to be made on homes that might have been abandoned or just there's no way they're going to rebuild this thing. So when you say 95 to 98% are hooked up of the available houses, probably that are, is that an accurate way of saying that?
I would say so. We made decisions while we were down there, like I said, as our deployment started dwindling down, we had to make decisions on, you know, who realistically we were going to be able to get back within power, with power, and those that, like you said, the abandoned ones and the ones that had been vacated for several months, probably since the storm. We had to make decisions to just press on and get on the customers we could.
Let me ask you a broader question. How much devastation was there? How much needed to be, say, even built from the ground up, built from scratch, and how much could be salvaged?
I can just say by the amount of work I personally saw, the amount of poles that I saw from the main road, the Route 3, to up where we were working, not 100%, but it was devastated. I mean, it was a direct hit for I forget how many hours. The locals I talked to said the thing sat there and swirled over them. It was just unbelievable. I can't even describe the devastation, the amount of poles and wire and stuff that we saw new. It wiped it out for the most part.
Well, when you're up in the hills and you're doing the final hookups, what are some of the tough decisions you had to make when you're up there about who you hooked up and who you didn't hook up?
Okay, first of all, I'm here because I think it was a great experience. I want to tell my experience, but one of the things that bothered me more so than any storm I've ever worked on was knowing the fact that at some point we were leaving, and out of the 99.9% of good customers, that 0.1% that I had to deal with, unfortunately, we had a situation where our security was involved, the local police down there were involved, the power company, the PREPA, the Puerto Rican outfit was involved, and this customer refused to let us run wire through over his property.
Which would connect to other people's property,
It would
right?
connect another probably half dozen to a dozen customers. And there was a gentleman, he was probably in his mid-60s. And the day we got there, we were expecting to get those people on. And then when we ran into that hiccup, we realized it wasn't going to happen. But the desperation, the communication was really hard because most of them didn't speak English and we didn't speak Spanish. But the look he had in his eyes, I've never seen in the guys who were with me. It was pure desperation. I don't even know how to explain it, but they'd been out for 7 months, and then we had to leave them because that one customer refused to let us help. But that look, I'll never forget, because I'm 40 years old and I've never seen a look like that on a person's face.
Eric Eskras, who we're talking with, Supervisor of Electric Operations for Ameren, Illinois. I'm John Norton. This is GLT Sound Ideas. When we were talking off the air before we started the interview, you said that you made some really great connections with a lot of other people on the island as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The people that we ran into up on the mountain, I don't know. I can't speak for the whole island, but the bunch we ran into, I had at least three separate households invite me and my family back there whenever we want to go to stay, not to stay in a hotel or anything. They welcomed us to stay at their house, and I truly believe I could call them in a year and go down there, and they would invite you in to stay. The people, for having nothing, they cooked for us almost every day. They were proud of what they had, even though it was, most of them didn't have much. They took care of what they had, and great bunch of people.
How did it change you, just going down there for the time you were there?
For the most part, to think if we got it bad up here, to go without power for a day or two, or just little stuff in general. I mean, to have access to the grocery stores, and it is life-changing as far as I'm concerned. The little necessities, the little stuff in life, you know, that we give our kids, and these kids are out there playing with a rock and a stick, you know. It's a different world for sure.
I know there was a lot of frustration among the islanders initially that the federal government didn't react in a very timely manner. I would imagine you were seen in a much different light because you were actually there to help them and hook things up.
Yeah, I'd heard and had read the same thing, you know, and there was frustration, but
Was any of that shared with you, that they were frustrated with the initial response?
I think there's a little confusion, maybe. The people I ran into personally, though, all the locals that we interacted with, I think we honestly were the first people they'd seen in 7 months coming to help them. So we ran into no hostility at all. They were grateful, I think, for the sacrifices. Our Ameren employees had made to leave their families to come down there to help them. They were just grateful for somebody to be there helping them.
Ameren Supervisor Eric Eskra of Lincoln speaking with GLT's John Norton. Eskra returned to Illinois earlier this month after spending weeks in Puerto Rico reconnecting electricity to homes and businesses devastated by Hurricane Maria. Eskra was one of 225 Ameren workers who were part of a larger group of more than 3,000 power restoration workers coordinated by the Edison Electric Institute and Electric Industry Association.